Voice listener, you're still tuning in to Voice of Indonesia, where you can tune in our online streaming, voinews.id, shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz.
Di ujung malam, menuju pagi yang dingin, hanya ada sedikit bintang malam ini. Mungkin karena kau sedang cantik-cantiknya.
at RA Digital with New Look. Various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRE Digital. Available on Google Store and App Store. RRE Digital.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a beautiful keroncong piece titled Bunga Abadi or Eternal Flower, performed by Ayub Sakti and the New Normal Keroncong Group. The song, written and originally performed by Rio Clappy, was released on March 1, 2024. The song tells a heartfelt story about meeting someone truly special. Through the song, Rio Clappy celebrates the magic of love and expresses gratitude for the people who bring joy and meaning to our lives. It's a gentle reminder to cherish the relationship we hold dear and embrace the true essence of love. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song by Ayu Sakti and the New Normal Keroncong Group with Bunga Abadi. Happy listening.
Untuknya dalam
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, VOI listener. Welcome to VOI Talk. And listener, the Ministry of Protection of Indonesia Migrant Workers has set a target of placing 425,000 Indonesian citizens in overseas jobs in 2025. One of the countries is South Korea. And how is the implementation of this program? And right now, my name is Ray. Joining me today is the charge d'affaires ad interim of the Indonesian Embassy in Seoul, South Korea, Ibu Zelda Wulan Kartiga. Good morning, Bu. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Mas Ray. I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, how is the current condition of South Korea right now, in Seoul especially?
Well, the weather is getting warmer because it's now spring. And so it's a very nice weather actually for visiting South Korea right now.
Okay, not just the weather, but there's also something warm about the information, about an interesting information, where Indonesian government plan to send more Indonesian migrant workers to South Korea. And how is the possibility or chances that it might be happening?
Yes, so we are aware that Vice Minister of Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers, Ibu Christina Ariani, has met with Ambassador Cecep Herawan, who is the Indonesian ambassador designate to South Korea early this month. Mm-hmm. So as far as I know, the meeting was to ask for ambassador's views on the possibility of increasing the placement of Indonesian migrant workers in South Korea. This placement is aimed at expanding employment opportunities to work abroad and bring multiple benefits to Indonesia and Korea. So our migrant workers support the growth and development in their countries of destination, including the labor shortage issue in Korea, while Indonesia would also benefit from their remittances and the skills acquired during their working experience abroad. This means if the placement increases, Indonesia would also gain more benefit from migrant workers' placement. So considering the important meaning of this placement, we have to make sure the policy of the new government of Korea, they are going to have the presidential election in June 3rd, would support and meet our objective. So for this purpose, the Embassy of Indonesia in Seoul continues engaging closely with the Korean government in exploring not only on sector and quota expansions for the existing G2G scheme, but also exploring other sectors for professionals and high-skill workers using P2P and individual job application.
Okay, that is really interesting insight about it. And what kind of jobs that are available for Indonesian migrant workers in South Korea, and what is possibly the most current, the most interesting one that Indonesian migrant workers can take?
Based on the schemes with Korea, there are some sectors that Indonesian migrant workers can fill in. First, for the G2G scheme, they use the E9 visa. Indonesian migrant workers can work in manufacture and fishing sectors. As I mentioned before, that the type of the visa is E9. And secondly, for P2P scheme and also individually applied jobs, they use E7 and E10 visa. E71 visa is for professional workers such as senior executive, manager, engineer, and so on. And also the second one is E72 visa for semi-professional worker, for example, chef. Mm-hmm. And third is the E73 visa for general workers such as shipbuilding welder, aircraft mechanic, and manufacturer. And the fourth one is E10 visa. This is for vessel crew.
There are many interesting jobs for Indonesian to take there. And there are more than 50,000 of Indonesian migrant workers in South Korea as we speak of right now. And what makes South Korean company interested to Indonesian migrant workers?
Well, a career working environment is hard and demanding. So in facing these challenges, most company owners in South Korea commend good behavior, determination, and diligence of our Indonesian migrant workers, as well as their strong desire to learn and do more. Mm. The companies are also in favor and appreciate Indonesian migrant workers' good solidarity and helpful attitude, not only among Indonesian workers, but also with other migrant workers and Korea society. You might be aware that there are three Indonesian migrant workers have recently received an award of a permanent resident visa by the Korean government as an appreciation for their good deeds in helping and saving many Korean people from a fire disaster in Yongdok village in southern part of South Korea. This reflects a concrete evidence that our Indonesian migrant workers are not only good workers, but also have good sense of humanity. So that's what the Korean people like about Indonesian migrant worker.
Okay, so that is really interesting because three Indonesian migrant workers is accepting permanent visas to stay in South Korea as we
permanent residence
in South Korea because of the hard work, diligence, and also the thinking of other people instead of their own. We must really appreciate it, and I hope the best for them. And of course, what kind of approach that needs to be done so that Indonesian migrant workers gain trust and chances to work in South Korea? Do they have to do the same thing as the three people that you've mentioned before, or?
Yeah, well, hopefully. So, we believe that the awards is the affirmation of trust for the Korean government, the companies and society to Indonesian migrant workers. So the approach that needs to be taken is how to maintain that trust. There are two ways. First, the Indonesian government should send skilled workers who must excel in their job. So Korea's Sajang is the boss, I mean the owners of the company, they prefer to choose a ready-to-use worker and mastering Korean language to fasten the production process in their company. And second, to ensure that Indonesian migrant workers complete their job contract, well adapt with Korean tradition and culture, as well as obey Korean government rules and regulations. These terms must be understood by Indonesian migrant workers before they are recruited or during the pre-departure program. So those two ways are very important in maintaining the trust that the Korean people, the Korean government grant to Indonesian workers.
Okay, so before Indonesian workers start to go to South Korea, is there like any training that is being given to Indonesian migrant workers in Indonesia before they go to South Korea? Is there any like specific schools from Indonesia?
Yes, as far as I know, there is a program, the pre-departure program. This is conducted by the Ministry of the Protection of Indonesian Migrant Worker or P2AMI. So they usually, it is located in Jakarta, if not mistaken, before they are brought to South Korea, before they depart to South Korea.
So they are must be ready before, so they can immediately start working in South Korea.
Yes, for sure. They should be ready for that.
Of course. And so, for the first stage, is there any targets until the end of this year?
So you mean the program of that, the one that was being discussed by the Vice Minister and the Ambassador?
Yes, that is the
one. The program hasn't been discussed officially by the government. So we at the embassy, we are still, I still don't know about this, the stages. However, the embassy in embassy of Indonesia in Seoul is always working closely in engaging the Korean government In the efforts to increase the placement quota of Indonesian migrant workers through existing schemes and job sectors, as well as exploring new sectors. Some new job sectors are still in the process by the Korean government, such as painting and electrician sectors for shipbuilding. And we are also looking for opportunities to open new sectors that can recruit more Indonesian migrant workers. But of course, if I may, I would like to underline that we need to nurture more competent and valuable migrant workers so that we can gain the most benefit of increasing Indonesian migrant workers abroad, especially in South Korea.
Okay. So what is the first thing for the embassy do after the workers arrive in South Korea?
So usually our labor attaché, they will meet them at the airport, and then the labor attaché will also accompany the workers to their respective companies and make sure that they are in touch with the embassy and also the most important is to spread the information about the local regulation, rules and regulations, how to live in South Korea and the culture and how to adapt easily to the situation, to the society in South Korea, because it's so different from Indonesia actually. So they have to work harder for sure. As you are aware, the South Korea, they like working harder, fast. We call it pali-pali. So our Indonesian workers must adapt to that culture of work.
Okay. So maybe I think this will be the most interesting question. Is there any specific residential area for Indonesian migrant workers to like live together, or maybe live near the office or near the embassy for the safety of the Indonesian migrant workers?
So the workers, they usually live near their company where they work. So not near the embassy for sure.
Okay.
This is because the location of their companies are located outside of Seoul.
Mm, okay.
So their companies usually they have their like dormitory for the workers. So they usually they live there. So they have their own dormitory for sure.
Okay, but they can easily contact the embassy if needed.
Yes,
for sure. Assistance.
For sure, and we really hope that they would contact the embassy and report about their arrival in South Korea, so that we can, if there is anything happen to them, we can the embassy can reach them and to help them.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much, Ibu Zelda Wulan Kartika, for your time. And hopefully, one listener, Indonesia will be able to fulfill the global demands for human resources that have reached 1.3 million. And listener, that was the special interview in VOI Talk for today. I'm Ray, and I'll see you again on the next VOI Talk.
Voice of Indonesia. Sampaikan salam ini untuk mewakilkan rasa terima kasihku. Menyambut hariku, berlagu dengan gaya nadamu. Di mana aku di sini, rindu akan nyawa ini. Semesta riang tersenyum merekah. Lagumu bagai semangat di jiwa. Oh hatiku ini rindu, namun tak perlu mengharap. Mari bernyanyi bersama dalam segi senang yang ayunan pesona jiwa dan berpesta. Ingat-ingat rekopolis kau mesin waktu menemus masa lalu. Gaya pesona dalam nyanyian bahagia yang kau cipta. Semesta memberi damai, terima kasih padamu, oh pujangga. Jikalau ada kuna dalam hati, terbesi dalam air dan api, nadamu akan selalu menjadi warna hidupku. Senarian alunan pesona jiwa dan berpesta. Ingat-ingat Metropolis, kau mesin waktu menembus masa lalu. Dan aku bukan terkenal melihat gaya pesona dalam nyanyian bahagia yang kau cipta. Semesta memberi damai, terima kasih padamu, oh pujangga.
Kasawami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasawami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasawami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or cloth to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasuami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The cone filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kasuami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kasuamis. Kasuami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kasuami is the initial food in Bhutan's traditional events. Interestingly, kasuami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Bhutan residents. Kasuami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Ribuan hari aku menunggumu, jutaan lagu tercipta untukmu. Apakah kau akan terus begini? Masih adakah celah di hatimu yang masih bisa kutuk singgahi? Cobalah aku kapan engkau mau. Kesejukan yang kau rasa. Coba keluar di terik siang, ingatlah bintang yang kau sapa, maka kehangatan yang
Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
My name is Valerie Reyes. I come from the Philippines. It's a different type of invention found in Indonesia. And yeah, I heard it was originally claimed by Malaysia, but then it was found out that it was originally from Indonesia. And then I think it was announced by UNESCO just, I think, 2 years ago. It was recent.
That was the atmosphere in an angklung musical training followed by participants of the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship Program at Saung Angklung Ujo, West Java. Angklung is a bamboo musical instrument typical of West Java. And as was expressed by Valerie, a participant from the Philippines, the musical instrument is originated from Indonesia's cultural wisdoms, which has been declared by UNESCO as World Cultural Heritage. However, though born of local wisdom, no one can explain when angklung was first created. A lecturer at the Indonesian Karawitan Art College, Yon Sutiono, said,
"Kalau yang namanya musik bambu itu, kalau kita yang kenal sekarang ya seperti angklung. Kalau di Jawa Barat memang yang lebih ini itu yang jenisnya angklung ya, alatnya digetar ya, bukan tidak tergolong alat perkusi atau dipukul ya. Nah, itulah barangkali memang ya kapan mulai dibuat ya saya sendiri enggak tahu itu kapan ya.
Karena the bamboo music that we know today is angklung. It is known in West Java. The instrument is played by shaking or striking it and not by beating or tapping it like percussion. When it was first made it, I do not know. What is clear is that we could find it when there were traditional rituals or ceremonies. For example, in Bogor there was angklung gubrak and in Banten angklung seret. It was old media for traditional ceremonies, which in essence was for tasakuran or thanksgiving to the Lord or even a repellent of bad spirits. Now, however, it is not to ward off bad spirits anymore, but to repel pests.
Formerly, angklung was used as part of ritual among the people. Then, as time went on, angklung became a folk entertainment. How could this happen? Daeng Octaviani Ujo, an angklung artist from Saung Angklung Ujo, has an explanation.
Awalnya nggak ada nadanya, Pak. Bukan selendro pelog. Awalnya itu angklung itu hanya musik ritmis. Jeringjung, 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 jeringjung. Itu dipergunakan untuk.
Initially there was no tone, no selendro nor pelog. Originally angklung was just rhythmic music. Jeng gon jreng gon jreng. It was used by Badui tribe as tribute to the goddess Dewi Sri during the harvest. Don jreng don jreng don jreng, so there was no tune. But then the outside Baduis created Dami Lalati Dachuns, who they used as a means to beg. Then Mr. Daeng Sutigna was interested in it. He was a teacher, a music teacher, and a scout instructor. Mr. Daeng tried to find out how could this musical instrument be taught in schools. When he saw the beggar, he thought this could be translated into Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Si, Do. Then he tried to do it and offered to teach this in school. He was rejected. Why? Because at that time, only rich people could go to school, and they did not want to play beggar music. Finally, he decided to teach it to Boy Scouts. When they played angklung so beautifully, the schools then became interested. At last, angklung went to school. So the one who translated the traditional tunes into Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Si, Do is Mr. Daeng. Why did he do that? Because at that time, schools were in need of musical instruments. That's the main reason. Then, when it became interesting, angklung then was turned into music for entertainment.
Erik, very nice. It's the second time. We went here last year, and it was last year, it was so nice. We want to see it again. So, second time, it was very nice.
Perfect. I've been here for the seventh time, and I've been seven times here. When it's not nice, I don't come back.
Those were the comments of two foreign tourists after watching the show at Saung Angklung Ujo. They were amazed with the music because Angklung has a special attraction, as expressed by Daeng Oktaviani Ujo.
Angklung ini merupakan suatu senjata yang sangat luar biasa. Ya, kita harus tahu, dan saya menyadari setelah saya keluar negeri ratusan kali, itu saya menyadari bahwa kita ini punya senjata yang sangat luar biasa. Dulu kita dalam sejarah, Belanda kocar kacir.
Angklung is an incredible weapon. Yes, we should know that. I realized after I had been abroad hundreds of times. Once in history, the Dutch colonial troops were terrorized by sharp bamboo spears. Not because they were more deadly than grenades or bullets, no. But the spirit of these bamboo spears made the people came and work together, helping each other to fight the Dutch. That made the Dutch troops scared. Angklung, as you can see, has made everybody swept away. Everyone was involved and resulted in harmony. So when I visit other countries, a lot of people feel close to Indonesia, how they feel in harmony with Indonesia.
The harmony and familiar feeling with Indonesia have been well perceived by participants of the Indonesian Arts and Culture Scholarship 2012, Heydar from Azerbaijan and George from Nauru. Thanks to the scholarship, they have been given the opportunity to learn the art and culture of Indonesia, especially Angklung music at Saung Angklung Ujo, Bandung. Initially, when they first saw the Angklung music performance, they were so amazed. How could some pieces of bamboo produce such beautiful music, which ultimately has made them feel familiar and love Indonesia?
Nama saya Heydar. Saya berasal dari Azerbaijan. Ya, suka. Saya semakin suka Indonesia. Ini aneh.
My name is Heydar. I come from Azerbaijan. Yes, I love it. I'm getting more and more in love with Indonesia. This is extraordinary for me since this is the first time I see a musical instrument made of bamboo. It is very unique and I really want to learn Angklung. In my opinion, Angklung is not difficult if you really want to learn. I think I can. Yes, I can play Angklung.
My name is George Kwajine. I'm from Nauru. Well, the first time I didn't know that bamboo can make music from it. But now I can, like, you know, realize that bamboo can make of many of things, like can build house, making music and everything. But the first I was like so surprised that they make music from this bamboo, like Angklung. Yeah, I also like, yeah, maybe this is the first time I can pass the music class. Yeah, very easy. Back home, I have to, like, if I want to teach Angklung, maybe I need to buy this equipment to go back to Nauru and teach them how to play Angklung. Because in Nauru, we don't have bamboo, we don't have much bamboo.
More people are interested in learning Angklung music, including foreigners. This is a logical consequence, especially after UNESCO designated Angklung as masterpiece of oral and intangible heritage of humanity. But there is also concern about this typical music of West Java, as perceived by the Angklung master, Daeng Oktaviani Ujo.
Yang saya lebih khawatir adalah, saya khawatir Angklung ini bisa orang lain lebih bagus memainkan. Karena apa? Ketika saya mainkan lagu China, ya.
But I'm more worried that other people would play Angklung better. Why? When I played a song from China, Chinese people were surprised. It sounds better in Angklung. When last week we were in Korea, we played Korean songs. Wow, they sound really nice with Angklung. When I was in Cuba, we gave them some Angklung. There is a music school in Cuba. Cuba is a closed state, but they play Angklung beautifully. They have tango and salsa patterns. So my concern is, Angklung can be played at anywhere, by any country. You can imagine the Nigerian can play Angklung. The Arabs can as well play in the desert. The Chinese, the Japanese, it can be played anywhere. That's what I'm worried about. More people can play it better. They are more serious. Well, how about if we are not serious?
Same concern is also shared by the head of tourism and culture of West Java province, Nunung Sobari. He even worried that Angklung recognition as World Cultural Heritage would be revoked by UNESCO.
Jadi betul sekali, di sisi lain kita bangga, gembira dengan pengakuan itu, tetapi itu kan juga ada syaratnya. Jadi angklung itu dievaluasi ya oleh UNESCO. Kalau nanti evaluasi.
So it is true, on one side we are proud, happy with the recognition, but there are some conditions. So angklung is to be evaluated by UNESCO. If the result is negative, then the recognition will be revoked. The negative criteria are as follows. First, if angklung is mass-produced, manufactured. Second, if according to the assessment of UNESCO, activities related to angklung have dropped or even none at all.
Facing these concerns, the government of West Java province has made some efforts to preserve angklung, as stated by the head of tourism and culture of West Java province.
Nah, untuk apa ya, mengantisipasi supaya
in order to keep angklung alive and growing in West Java in particular, and in Indonesia in general, the government has initiated a Love Angklung movement. A more strategic effort actually is to make angklung-related activities in schools. So angklung now has become an extracurricular activity. Schools in Bandung now have sent their students for angklung lessons. Some headmasters have even invited professional angklung instructors to train the students and to form angklung ensembles.
The government's seriousness in maintaining, developing, and utilizing the unique art of West Java is also evidenced by the opening of a new study program in the Indonesian Art College, namely Angklung and Bamboo Music Studies Program, as revealed by a lecturer of Karawitan, Indonesian traditional music, who has also been appointed head of the program, Yon Sutiono.
Kemudian pemerintah juga dengan membuka salah satu prodi bambu yang.
Then the government has also opened a bamboo music studies program at STSI. Yes, perhaps this is also another effort. There are courses leading to bamboo music, and now there are also scholarships.
Head of Tourism and Culture of West Java Province, however, says that all the efforts that have been taken by the government will not run well if it does not get support from other parties.
Karena menurut saya dalam pelestarian.
Because I think the conservation, development, and utilization of the art and culture must be done simultaneously. I conclude as choir, symphony, you know, one sound singing a song usually is not so good, but it would be so nice if the song is sung in choir together. I mean, those components are not just the government. The first is the government, the second are artists or cultural figures, the third are associations or groups, including schools.
Support for preserving angklung would be created if all are aware that angklung is fun, as perceived by the artist angklung Daeng Octaviani Ujo.
Yuk nyadar gitu, angklung itu menyenangkan.
Let's create angklung awareness. Angklung is fun, not a kind of heavy music. It can be played by anyone. Well, why don't we try it? No problem if you don't like it. It is impossible to make everybody like it. So, just try and taste it. After that, let's package it. And I want a lot of people to try and listen first. So do not always make a remark about what angklung is like before feeling it first. So open your mind. Well, it turned out that angklung is like this.
Listener, if you visit Ambon, it's incomplete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala village is a fish hunter. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cooking process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours and is done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Listener, ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the smoked fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal cholo-cholo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
The National Nutrition Agency said that since its commitment and commencement on January 6, 2025, the Free Nutritious Meal Program has reached 3.9 million beneficiaries. Informed that his agency is targeting to set up 294 new SPPGs in several regions by next week, which could potentially increase the number of beneficiaries by around 882,000. The Indonesian government is actively working to improve the management and supporting facilities of North Sumatra's Toba Caldera.